This is Transcending with Tori, and today's finale show features special guest, musician, actress, visionary goddess, Mina Tobias. Welcome, Mina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here out of your busy schedule. It's an honor.
Of course.
And to get us up to date, what has the past few years been like for you?
So I went to Cornell as class of 2015, so I graduated a little over a year ago. And I studied, and my major was psychology, and I minored in music. So for those 4 years, I was also an athlete, and most of my life was around practicing and traveling for meets and all of that, which was pretty much my life all the way back to like 11 or 12 years old. So, but during that time, I wanted to also incorporate what I was learning with psychology, with music, and starting to write my own stuff and producing it. So I was pretty busy when I was on campus in Ithaca. I wrote a bunch of like little, I don't know, singles that I've put out and started experimenting more. And after I graduated, I moved to LA. First I was in West Hollywood and I started performing around that area. And I've just kind of been all over since then, just writing a ton, performing locally. And I got to do a couple fun things like the Twin Peaks UK Festival out in London and some stuff in New York too. So I'm just trying to keep building on the whole music thing.
Yeah. When did you realize your talents?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I know back when I was in like first grade ish, my dad was a producer with Capitol Records. And so I was always fascinated by the studio and watching him write and produce and sing. And he could play like every instrument. So I loved seeing him in that process, and I think he noticed that because he got me a little 8-track recorder. So back in first grade, I learned how to harmonize to a certain degree, and I was listening to a lot of like Aaliyah and Enya and Lenny Kravitz. So that started influencing what I loved to listen to and how I wanted to kind of form my voice. But as far as like taking it more seriously, I think that was more late high school, maybe. Like junior or senior year, I started producing my own stuff and actually playing it for other people, which is a hurdle for a lot of songwriters who will just write a bunch of stuff but never show it. So that was hard for me to kind of break through. But once I did, I kind of felt like that's what I wanted to do. So yeah, it's been maybe about like 6 years, a little more than 6 years that I've started taking it seriously.
So music is like in your DNA.
I think so. It seems like it.
Yeah. So what was it like growing up with parents, both in music and acting?
Both are very different. I mean, in similar in a lot of ways, but as far as music, that was just something that was always at home. And my dad always had a studio at home. So that was just like a part of our life. With acting, that drove a lot of how we grew up. So wherever my mom was filming, we would move. So I went to, like, I don't know, 13 schools.
Oh, my God.
All around the country and internationally, which was a really awesome experience. So it definitely shaped the way me and my brother, like, kind of view new areas and situations. It's just kind of all been a part of being an international student, in a way, mm-hmm. because of acting and filming and growing up on set. So, and I don't know, I've always loved acting and being on set and watching my mom when she's working. So, it's funny. I actually just realized that I'm in a lot of my mom's shows because I'm in the background, either accidentally or on purpose, but that's just kind of been my upbringing. It's just a very creative, I don't know, lifestyle, I guess.
And I know your mom's really into like meditation. Did she bring you into this whole meditation thing or is that about?
Yeah, mostly. So David Lynch had been trying to get my mom to meditate for, like, decades.
Like a joke.
As a joke, but, like, seriously, because, you know, like, when they were filming Twin Peaks or whatever, he meditates every single day. They stop production, and he gets his 20 minutes in, and that's just been a part of his life. Mm-hmm. And he wants to spread that to anybody that he loves, of course, and anybody who needs it. So he's been bothering her to start for forever. And she finally did a few years back. And when she finally learned transcendental meditation, she she loved it, and she got the whole family into it, so we all learned. So it's been a couple of years now, and we're still getting used to it and trying to make it more of a routine, but we all use it creatively in the family.
Yeah, I met you on one of the women retreats they had.
That's right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I remember I was walking on the beach and I got stung by a bee, and your mom and you were there. Oh my
god, yeah, that's right.
She saved me with a credit card. You insert it in your foot and it gets the stinger out.
She has all those little, like, I don't know where she learns this stuff, but I know she got stung while filming a scene. And she was walking. And
no.
It was like this long shot on the beach, and she had to walk away for like a couple minutes and not stop. Because it was like the end credits of that show.
Okay.
And halfway through, she stepped on a bee.
Oh, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, and she had to pretend like she didn't step on it, so she knows how to get it out of your foot without hurting, I guess.
Well, thank you both for saving my life.
Anytime.
Well, I've learned a lot about you just in this past few minutes. And I wanted to know, like, as far as the transition from school into, like, more of a career-oriented world, how are you manifesting things in your life? I feel like it's happening pretty rapidly for you.
In some ways, but for me, of course, I want it to happen faster.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, manifesting it, I am definitely someone who needs chaos all the time.
Okay.
If I'm not rushing around with a bunch of, like, stress trying to get somewhere and doing everything I can to try and reach a goal, that I feel like I'm failing myself, which is, you know, it's fine. You know, I gotta work on that. But as far as manifesting it, I definitely write everything down. I know exactly where I want to be in a few years or next month or whatever, but I try to be fluid too and see opportunities that come up even if it's not planned, and just try and work with whatever I can. So I don't know. I think it's just really focusing every day on what I want to get done that day, and always take a step forward, whether it's small or big. As long as I'm moving somewhere, I'm happy. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I also wanted to know, like, what are your, like, biggest career goals? Like, your wildest dreams?
Well, so as far as music, it's on tour. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to, because I love traveling.
Yeah, on the
music,
road.
And that's what I want to do, is to have a big world tour. That's my biggest goal. Like, smaller goals, not even smaller, but just hopefully sooner, I want to collaborate with a producer and get, like, an EP or an album out. I have, you know, hundreds and thousands of songs that I've been writing since I was a kid, and I'm waiting for the right person to, like, treat it the way it's supposed to.
Do you have any favorite producers who might be listening?
Favorite producer? I mean, of course, like, Mark Ronson and...
Hi, Mark.
I'm trying to think of my absolute favorites. I mean...
Pharrell,
of course. I'm totally blanking, but she's the one who produced Super Bass and, like, every single song ever. I'll have to look it up because it's going to bother me. She's
Linda Perry?
Well, Linda Perry's definitely one of them.
Okay, hi, Linda.
But, no, I'm trying to... Anyways, I'll remember her name eventually, but she's, like, produced... I love, like, R&B hip-hop with a little bit of a alternative spin on it, and she's done everything with, like, Kehlani and all these artists that I love, and Janae Aiko, so.
Fantagram and that kind of style?
Yeah.
Who would you say are your idols? I don't know. I always see Billie Holiday when I think of you, like,
oh, thank you.
This, like, old-timey, old Hollywood character.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
But tell me who are yours. Those are mine for you.
Well, as far as my influences, it's definitely, like, Janet Jackson, because when I was in first grade, I don't know why my parents allowed this. I guess the 90s were a different time. But I only watched, like, Michael Jackson's concert, his music videos, Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation tour, and a bunch of other music videos that were out in the 90s, and, like, that's just what I watched on repeat. So Janet Jackson is my idol. Aaliyah, Robin. Do you know Robin?
Yeah.
She's like she's Swedish or Norwegian. No, she's Swedish.
From one of the, up there.
Somewhere north. She's awesome. I love her sound and her electronica spin on things. Indiari. Indiari. So, I don't know. I mean, there's so many. I can go on forever, but those are, like, I'm big into, like, 90s R&B.
So, tell me how, like, going from all your influences from childhood till now, how do you get an idea for a song, and what is the process like from idea to finished product?
It's usually different. So it can come from anything as weird as like a dream or even from meditation. So I'll hear the whole song and just wake up and try to remember as much as I can and get it recorded. Sometimes even on my phone, like if I'm, I don't know, not near my computer, I'll just like sing it to my phone and send it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm like intentionally trying to write something, I'll start on the piano or keyboard and play around with some beats and kind of see where that takes me as far as what the melody or the mood is. Or sometimes, and this is probably the most common for me, is whenever I'm traveling, so like on a plane or if someone else is driving, my mind just like wanders and I think of a lot of lyrics. I write all those down in poem form, and then I work on them when I hear them again or see them again. So
you sing in the car to your family?
Not really. Outside of like performing, I never like sing or anything, but yeah.
And you were saying that some of your songs come from like dream experiences, and we were just talking that
mm-hmm.
about nightmares and how you've transformed nightmares into the most wild adventures ever. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's so when I was younger, I don't remember what age, but I had nightmares every single night for like a couple of years, I'd say. And so I finally was just like, I have to find a way to not have to deal with this and get better sleep and all of that. So I slowly but surely kind of learned how to control my dreams, and turns out it's called lucid dreaming, which I didn't know. So I learned how to recognize that it's a dream and then kind of make it however I wanted it to be. the dream experience, I don't really do that as much now because I don't have nightmares as much. But sometimes I do, and I kind of go crazy with it, and I can write in the dream, which is really fun. So it's always different, but it's been a interesting experience with dreaming.
Well, we'll have to have you back to tell us more about that.
Of course.
And what is your message to mankind, your inspiration for humanity?
I'm not really one like to give advice or anything, but as far as my own personal mantra, I always think that everything happens for a reason. And so I try to have good intentions with what I put out there. So even with music and any kind of creative project, I always try to have some kind of aspect to it that's either advocating for whether it's mental health, which is a big thing for me, or breast cancer awareness, or whatever it is that I'm working on at the time. I try to intertwine that with what I'm putting out there in the world. So like with the Kings and Queens music video, we fundraised.
Oh, yeah, you did that with your mom. She directed.
Yeah, that's right. So I had her come on and direct it.
What was that like?
that was actually really fun. The process up to it took a long time because I fundraised for about a year, a little under a year, actually. It was more like 7 months. And I was also donating 10% of the proceeds to Thrive, actually, and Bring Change to Mind.
Oh, those two. So you always interweave like a charity or a greater cause.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
But then it took longer to produce it, but you know, it was worth raising that kind of money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I brought her on board, and she created this like very cool, whimsical, like love story about this girl who goes through a bunch of different worlds, and you know, it's like to the idea of kings and queens for a night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fun, and I enjoyed having her on set, and she's also very honest with me, so she didn't have to worry about like sugarcoating anything on the day of filming.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. It's just very direct, very easy. We communicated really well. No fights, no blow-ups or anything. It was just really fun.
What was like your experience as an artist? Acting, dancing, singing, all in one.
It was really fun. I'm one of those people, because I was also producing it, where until it was the day of, I wasn't like super excited. I was mm-hmm. more focused on making sure like all the lights are there and all the costumes are done and all, you know, all that stuff. But definitely like the 2 days of filming were a blast. And I'm no dancer, but it took me a really long time to learn my like really basic steps that it took the actual dancers maybe like 20 minutes to learn.
Oh, I have two left feet.
Yeah, like I like to fancy myself a dancer, but then when it comes to learning choreography, I'm like, oh, that's why there's professionals.
Mm-hmm. I just do jumping jacks, and I don't know.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need in life. So
how can people see your video? Do they Google?
Yeah, so it's on YouTube, on my YouTube channel under Mina Tobias. And it's all on all of my social media sites, like, I don't know, Twitter, and just everywhere, Facebook.
So this is the conclusion of our beautiful finale show. Thank you, Mina Tobias, for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me. That was really fun.
Yes. And I'm going to end my last show. I could cry.
I'm crying. Oh. I don't want you to go.
I'm not going anywhere. Might change to a podcast format.
Okay.
And we'll be launching things very soon. I'll let you know.
Please do.
But it is an honor to have you because you're one of the first artists I played in my very first or second show. And
yeah, that's right.
I feel like we both have blossomed into new beginnings in the next chapter and overcome obstacles. So
yes,
here we are, women in charge.
That's right.
All right. And I'm going to read you an energy oracle card.
Okay.
So you have the deck in front of you.
Yes, I have the deck.
So this is an energy oracle card. You pick three cards after you've shuffled it. And Mina has asked herself an internal question, and she'll be getting the answer from the definition of each card. So fire away.
Okay. So I just turn it over? I just pick three?
No, you just pick three from the deck that's in your hand. Okay. Anyway you want.
Is it bad if I just go off the top?
Whichever one. Or you can put it on the table in different sections.
Okay, maybe I'll do that.
It's very intuitive.
No, okay, I'll just do this. I'm feeling this.
All right, Mina has the third chakra, Archangel Shamuel.
Do I go to the next one?
Yes, that's 37. Then you got another card facing you. This is about financial constraints.
As any musician has.
Oh, yes. Yes, self-involved with producing your own stuff, I know. But you have the Temple Path, which is number 12. And it's interesting that all the cards are facing you, because when the cards are facing the opposite way, it has a totally different meaning. So
okay.
It's nice to know that you're all oriented towards you, which is good. So the first card you picked is the third chakra. And this is about emotions of desire and your life force energy. So the card is upright. And this powerful Archangel Shamuel is holding a beautiful sphere of golden light at the solar plexus, which is the location of, next page, your third chakra and the center of your life force energy. The issues here resolve around emotions of desire and your personal energy. When the card appears upright, it indicates that an increased enthusiasm is present or soon to be on its way. So you're going to have more drive and desire for things you love.
Cool.
This is a great time to move towards the competition and completion of your desires. Your life force is vibrating with power and resonance, and your soul is calling you to direct your energy in a focused, purposeful manner. This angel of power is with you now. Go for it. And each card has an affirmation. And if you want to read this to our listeners.
Okay. My third chakra is open to its perfect, healthy state. I radiate a bright and vibrant life force energy. I feel excitement for all that I do.
All right. Okay, and our second card here is financial constraints. That's number 13. And this card is not really a negative thing. It's just something to be aware of. And it's about restrictions concerning money. So this card shows an old-fashioned safe with little money, but lots of cobwebs and dust. Money may be tight at this time. So rein in your spending and be circumspect about the financial requirements in your life. This is not a time of indulgence, so be aware of what's really important and consciously choose your expenditures. So, you know, just focusing on your music is, you know, what I feel like all the energy goes to.
It's so funny because I literally just went to the spa last night and I was like, I didn't need that.
Oh, is that, okay, the next sentence, there's a big difference between what you need and what you want.
So true.
Okay, this card is telling you to take care of your needs and bide your time. Things will get better, but for now, be willing to live more conservatively. As always, value money and the good things you already have. You did need the massage.
You know what? I did.
You're relaxed. All right. And the next card, the last one, the Temple Path. It's a very powerful one. And they go in order. That was 13. Now we're back at 12. This is about your spiritual purpose and support. So it's upright, and it means receiving this card represents your own spiritual evolution. The winding path you are on leads to a blessed temple and a lovely garden, symbolizing the spiritual destiny. I feel like you will, it's like you're getting to your goals. But it's a windy road, as it appears. So your soul has had time in mind for this lifetime. This card upright is here to tell you that what you're going through now is all part of your soul's process. Ooh, I have the chills. You are on your karmic path and heading in the light and right direction, and the choices you make now are important for your personal growth and life lessons. The lights around the temple represent the spirit world, your family members and friends, angels and guides, all the loving spirit helpers who long to assist you. Call upon them and be open to their wisdom and inspiration. All your ancestors and those that have passed, animals or idols, call upon all these to help you. This is a wonderful life-expanding time, so keep in mind your personal priorities as well as your spiritual connection. Following your higher intentions will help you move your life forward in dramatic ways, and connecting with spirit and your higher self, you will have a wonderful influence on all that you experience. And here is your affirmation.
Okay, let's see. I open my heart to my spiritual truth and a deeper connection with spirit. Guidance and inspiration come freely and easily to me.
Okay, and we'll read the affirmation for money.
I can move through any cycle with dignity and awareness. I am open to receiving increasing wealth. Money moves to and through my life, bringing benefits to all.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, that was a good reading.
Yeah.
And those were the energy oracle cards. I know, they're always amazing, and they're by Sandra Ann Taylor.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Sandra.
Yeah, thank you, Sandra.
And I'm going to play a group of songs now, and I'd love to hear what is the first song that you select on this playlist.
Well, the first song, I have to start with Kings and Queens, because that's my most recent project. So, yeah, it's Kings and Queens, written, produced by me. I think it's on Spotify and iTunes if you'd like it. Everything under Mina Tobias.
All right, buy it. Thank you, Mina.
Thank you for having
me. All right,
me.
We'll have you back when you're on tour.
Yes, definitely.
Come on.
Thank you. Thank you. Ascending with Tori will be moving to a Dub Lab sponsored show for the ICALA with Tori Zalbin and Adrian Adar in 2017. Thank you for today's show, Don Stixel, James Nelson, and K-Shung Radio. And last but not least, Mina Tobias.